I'm not getting into the dumpster. I fixed my boss, J.T. Pearson, with a stern look.
Me either. So don't even think about asking.
Daisy wrinkled her nose and took a sidestep away from the metal container. We were in the narrow street behind the parking deck where Luann Traynor had breathed her last. The case had brought almost as much media attention to Milford as Holt Dupree's death had to Locust Point. And my boss was determined to capitalize on the event by filming an episode on the murder for his YouTube channel. There had already been a few snags in this production. Detective Keeler had not only refused to perform in the reenactment, he'd refused to be interviewed at all. That left me to be the star of the show. I'd repeatedly told JT I was done acting in his low-budget reality show. There were only so many hours in the day. At work, my focus was on our actuarial work, and once I was off the clock, I really didn't want to be an amateur actress in JT's obsessive hobby. He'd managed to talk me into this one in a moment of weakness, when I was excited over receiving my investigator's license. So far, beyond the interview, I'd only had to appear with Daisy and some extras JT had grabbed off the street for the meet-and-greet scene, and walk through the parking garage to gasp in shock over the spot where Luann had lain. That hadn't been easy because the shadowy figure of her ghost was still hanging around the spot where she'd died, recreating the event over and over again in a weird loop that only I could see. I'd managed to get through that section of JT's video in one take, walking through the icy chill of Luann's spirit to head to the sunny, narrow road behind the parking garage and businesses along the main street. That had been bad enough. I was drawing the line at the dumpster. JT turned to Daisy, giving her that helpless puppy dog look that must have been successful in the past. They'd been dating. Well, they'd been sort of dating. Daisy had confessed to me that date number one had been awkward and without any sort of lightning bolt attraction on her part. JT was enough of a detective to notice this and had dialed back his wooing. He was attentive, flattering, and came up with fun, interesting date ideas, but was clearly keeping his hands to himself. It was working. She'd never admit it. But Daisy was relaxing in his company and enjoying how the not-quite-a-romance was proceeding on her own terms. But the soft spot she was forming for my boss still had its limits. "I'm not getting in that dumpster, Gator Pearson." She folded her arms across her chest. "Not happening." JT sighed and pulled a wad of bills out of his pocket, turning to one of the two college kids he'd recruited to be his camera crew. He was pretty cheap, and I was sure he was paying them in career-enhancing credit on the film. So I was surprised when he stripped a 10 off the stack of cash and held it out to one of the kids.
$10 if you put the brown wig on and get into the dumpster.
The kid eyed the 10, then the wad of cash.
20.
JT thought about that for a second.
Okay, 20.
The kid put down the broom handle boom mic and snatched a brown wig out of a box of props that JT had bought at a going out of business costume shop. With an agile leap, he was up and over the edge of the dumpster.
Ugh, it stinks in here.
Didn't I know it? Gator ignored him.
Okay, Daisy, you creep forward, snatch the tablet out of his hands, then close the lid on him.
Hey, I didn't agree to be closed in here.
You.
JT turned to the camera guy. Film it so all you can see is his hands and his wig hair. We'll just slap reenactment on it and maybe do a blurry filter and hope no one notices.
It was a YouTube video. No one would notice. And if they did, they wouldn't care.